Well, and welcome to our program. Today we'll be looking at 1 John, beginning in chapter 1 and verse number 5. Reading in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." The word message is in the Bible 7 times. The first time we find it, it's a very negative message. It's in Judges chapter 3 and verse number 20 and 21, and it is for Eglon, king of Moab. And Ehud is bringing this message. It says, "And Ehud came unto him," that is Eglon, "and he was sitting in a summer parlor which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly." Well, there's a message for the king of Moab from God. That's the first message, that first time we see that word message. The last time we see it is here in 1 John, where it's repeated twice in 1 John 1 and 5. "This then is the message, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." There's a positive message. And then 1 John 3:11, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Now, we're going to talk a lot about that part of this message as we go through this series in 1 John. Love one another. Now, in verse 6, John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say, in 1 John 1 and 6, he says, if we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, and then in 1 John 1 and 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And then in 1 John 1 and 10, if we say we have not sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say. In verse 6, he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if, that's a pretty big word. It's found 21 times, actually, in 1 John. I'm going to give you just a few of them. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, the Bible says we lie, verse 6 of chapter 1. Then, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. 1 John 2, 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then 1 John 4 and 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. 1 John 5 and 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Then in 1 John 5 and 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And then 1 John 5:15, if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Some very interesting verses here with the word if. We only used a few of them. Again, there's 21 of them in 1 John if you want to study them for yourself. Now, 1 John 1 and 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. To deceive is to believe something that is not true. If we say we have no sin. We're going to discuss that further on as we get into this book. Now, in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, John says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, it says here, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we'll look at that, as I said later on in one of these broadcasts, that you sin not, but if any man sin. We'll look at that. But here I want to focus on these two words, these things. These things. Now, if you'll flip over in your Bible, and I hope you have your Bible as we go through these studies, you'll get a lot more out of it. But if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, it starts out here concerning these things. It says, Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. That's important. Not everybody has obtained like precious faith. Some are just goofing around with this Christian life. Others are very serious about the faith of the Bible being their faith. To those, Peter is writing. And he says in verse 5, besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now there's the foundation for it. That word charity is agape. It's usually translated love in the King James Bible, and God had it translated charity here because that's what he wanted it to be translated. The difference between charity and love, charity is something where someone knocks on your door and they're raising money for starving children over in Africa. That's charity. And so you give them a gift and you get nothing in return. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about this kind of love, where you're loving, not expecting anything in return. Now he mentions here faith, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the foundation for it all, charity or love. Now, in verse 8 he says, for if these things, what things? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you add these things, there's some tremendous byproducts here for us. Then he says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Then he said in verse number 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Then in verse number 12, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And finally in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And so Peter, in his life, he had added these things to his life as time went on. He is now at the end of his life. He knows that he's going to be leaving this world soon. And he says in verse 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. These things, so important. Now let's go back to chapter 2 of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2. What did he say? My little children, these things write I unto you. These things. Now, if we would just take the time to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us and get these things as part of our lives rather than just reading about them or hearing another sermon about them and doing nothing, then we would be growing spiritually. Now, in this verse, he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, he says, I'm writing these things that you don't sin. And he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And he continues, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That sort of knocks the heresy of Calvinism out of the boat. Now, what we have here, he says, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Now, what we have here is God's courtroom. And get a picture of it. In this courtroom, there's you and I who are guilty of sin. We're guilty of sin. If any man says he has no sin, he deceives himself, and the truth is not in him, the Bible says. So we're sinners. We deserve to go to hell. Well, here we are in God's courtroom, and we are guilty. We know we are guilty. The judge knows we are guilty. The prosecutor knows we are guilty. Everybody knows we are guilty of sin. All right? The prosecutor is Satan. The Bible says he is our adversary. An adversary is an opponent in a suit of law. Now, Revelation 12 and 10 says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So here I am standing in the courtroom. I am guilty. The prosecutor, Satan, says he is guilty. He is an accuser. The judge is God the Father. He is the judge. The advocate that we have an advocate, it says here, which is Christ. And he is in the courtroom for us. We have an advocate with the Father. Christ pleads the case for us if we're Christians. His father is a judge. And his father is our father. So this is an interesting court case. Now we read here that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. What's that mean? Well, propitiation is a means of appeasement. It is meeting the demands of justice. And so in Romans 8 and verse number 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. And so even though as Christians we are sinners, we are guilty of sin. Satan says, I am an accuser. He is guilty of sin. The judge is God the Father. The advocate is Christ. He says, no, I am the propitiation. I have paid the price on Calvary. I am the means of appeasement. I meet the demands of judgment. And therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He covered the cost on the cross, and it says in Colossians 2:14 that there he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And then in verse 3-5 he says, and hereby we know that we know. Now we're talking about the fact that John is writing a book of total absolutes here. We know that we know. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Now, this is a very interesting verse. He says here, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Now, are you keeping his commandments? Which one of us could say, yeah, I'm keeping all the commandments. I'm doing everything he says to do. Well, I can't say that, and I'm sure you can't say either. So what does this mean? Well, the word keep here has been translated observe 4 times. It has been translated watch 2x. It has been translated hold fast 2x. Now, it's not saying keep his commandments in the sense that you're not doing anything wrong, you're keeping all of his commandments, but it's saying he that observes his commandments, he that watches them, he that holds fast to them. In other words, his commandments are important to you. And in verse 3, he says, and hereby do we know that we know him if his commandments are important to us, if we keep them, if we observe them, if we watch, if we hold fast to them. Verse number 22 in John, 1 John chapter 3, it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him if we keep his commandments, if those things are important to us. He says in 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. This we know. How do I know I'm saved? Because I have such an interest in the things of God. A person who has absolutely no interest in the Word of God and what God has to say, I would be checking yourself to see if you're saved. If we say, is that, you know, John says over and over again, he uses that word if. Now, if there's no interest in the commandments, in the things of God, then there's no interest, then there's no salvation. And then in 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. No, they're not grievous. Now, we should have an interest in them. We want to watch. We want to hold fast. We want to guard those commandments and observe what they say. That shows you have an interest in the things of God. That shows you have the new nature. Now that we've got two natures, and we'll get into that as we get a little further into this series. But it's so interesting to understand that he said, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.